You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves are back in action this evening against the Memphis Grizzlies. Today's podcast will spend a little bit of time previewing that game, although it is the same matchup we just had on Wednesday night. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Here off the top, I do want to talk about the COVID-19 health and safety protocol impact on the Timberwolves for tonight's game. There's a couple of players out. Then also some persisting rumors surrounding PJ Tucker and the Houston Rockets now that James Harden has, of course, been traded to the Brooklyn Nets. And there was that four-team deal that went down earlier this week. So what are the potential impacts for the Timberwolves? I also want to talk a little bit about the bench for the Wolves. I got into this a little bit on Thursday's show, but I'd like to kind of do a little bit more of a, you know, rehash that a bit and talk about what are we really expecting out of the Timberwolves bench, and what is the coaching staff in the front office really expecting to get out of a bench that's largely void of true offensive threats. So I'd like to talk about that as well. First, a quick reminder, as always, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere that you get a podcast. That includes iTunes, of course, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. We'll be live tweeting the game this evening, as well as from my personal account. That's at B Beacon, B-B-E-E-C-K-E-N. So be sure to follow both accounts on Twitter. All right. Let's talk about the news, which perhaps you've already seen it, but the Wolves will be without a couple of players on Friday night. And one is Juancho Hernan Gomez, who's apparently entered a 10-day quarantine, according to John Krasinski of The Athletic. The team reported that both Ricky Rubio and Hernan Gomez will be out because of COVID-19 protocols. And John Krasinski is reporting that Hernan Gomez will isolate for 10 days. We don't know how long Rubio's absence will be. So, you know, I guess I'm speculating now, but we know Hernan Gomez is out for 10 days. Perhaps it's a family member or somebody Hernan Gomez is close with or lives with, and maybe Rubio had close contact outside the facility with those folks. And if somebody in Hernan Gomez's orbit had tested positive, then that would be why he would be isolated for 10 days. So at this stage, we just know that the Wolves will be without Hernan Gomez. They'll be without Ricky Rubio. Also, the Timberwolves have listed a couple other guys as probable. That's Karl Anthony Towns, Josh Okogie will both likely play in this game. Jake Layman remains out for personal reasons. According to the Timberwolves Twitter account, looks like Jake Layman and his wife had a baby this week. So congrats to the Layman family, but he's unavailable, which leaves the Wolves as fairly shorthanded. It's fair to assume that in the absence of Rubio, Jordan McLaughlin will be active and play for the first time in over a week. Of course, on a two-way contract, he's only allowed to play in a certain number of games this year. So he will be active and will play. So I want to get into what the rotation might look like here in just a minute. Well, actually, let's talk about that now. So there's a couple options. What is the power forward situation look like for tonight's game? Does Jared Vanderbilt start? Does Josh Okogie start at the four and Jarrett Culver also start on the wing? Does Anthony Edwards get a start? Ryan Saunders said in his media availability on Thursday, as reported by Dane Moore, John Krasinski reported that the Wolves are considering using Anthony Edwards at the four. Obviously, I talked about this a little bit preseason after the Wolves drafted Edwards. And actually, he did a little bit earlier this year. In a couple short stints, he played the four when he was playing really well at the very beginning of the season. I don't think that's feasible for a long period of time. I think Okogie's a better fit at the four than Edwards. He's a little bigger, longer, more experienced as an NBA defender. But do perhaps both Edwards and Okogie start? Does Jarrett Culver start? Or do the Wolves just start Jared Vanderbilt? There's always the possibility Ed Davis or Naz Reid also plays, or I should say starts, and perhaps one of them starts at the four next to Towns. I think that's pretty unlikely. I also think it's unlikely Jaden McDaniels will see significant run in this game. I think Memphis is probably a bad matchup to throw your insanely skinny rookie who played 1 year of college ball in the Pac-12 out there against Jonas Valanciunas and you know, some of these guys that Memphis runs out there in the front court, Brandon Clark, big athletic guys that are going to give him a tough time. My thought is the Wolves will probably start. They'll probably start Okogie and Culver or Okogie and Edwards. on the one hand, you don't want to put too much on Edwards' plate when he's had three straight bad games or two straight bad games and then the bad decision at the end of the game on Saturday. On the other hand, this might be the opportunity for to just kind of put him out there, shake things up, put him out there with a different group, let him play with Towns, start, put Okogie at the four and Edwards at the three, I guess, and Beasley at the two. That's what they might do. It wouldn't surprise me. If it's me, I start Jared Vanderbilt. I don't think twice about it. And then your backup 4 minutes go to Okogie and you slide Edwards to the three with the second unit. You give either Jalen Noel some run at the two, or you're running Jordan McLaughlin and D'Angelo Russell together a bit as well. I'm hoping that this means Jalen Noel gets some run tonight. The Wolves need that punch off the bench. And again, I want to get back to talking about the bench here in a minute. But I think Noel could be a welcome addition to the rotation for this game. So that is the conversation. I want to get a little bit more into that bench conversation here in a minute. Before we do that, though, I do want to address the PJ Tucker thing. So this has been a rumor since before the season that the Wolves were interested in PJ Tucker, the obvious connections being Gerson Rosas, formerly in Houston. The Wolves need a four. Tucker's got an expiring contract. He's a perfect fit in terms of a tough-minded defender who can guard multiple positions. He's played the small ball five. You could play him at small ball five as a backup, depending on how Naz Reid and Ed Davis are playing. He's going to hit corner threes. He's just a solid all-around player. His age and his contract are a little bit tricky. The Rockets had resisted trading him, at least trading him for whatever the Wolves were offering, hoping that they would be good this year. Now that James Harden's been traded, they're probably more likely to trade Tucker. And John Krasinski of The Athletic reports that the Wolves have engaged with the Rockets on discussions about Tucker and says all the things that I just said about him being a really good fit. And Krasinski's talked about this quite a bit before. My thing is, what are you giving up for a 35-year-old expiring contract when your team is 3-7 or 3-8? What are you trading? You're not. There's no picks this year. Are the Wolves really going to trade a future first rounder for PJ Tucker? No, not. I mean, maybe if they were 8-3, you'd think about that. Of course, if you're 8-3, you'd probably feel less. It's less necessary to pull the trigger on a trade 3 weeks into the season. Are the Rockets going to get a better offer elsewhere from a true contender? Probably. I don't think they're going to be too excited about, I don't know, Jalen Noel and Naz Reid or whatever the Wolves might try and offer. Obviously, you need some salary in there too, besides those guys. Jarrett Culver, do you really want to trade Jarrett Culver in this deal? I've been on the trade Jarrett Culver train since the offseason, and I haven't hopped off, but I don't know that this is the move. If the team were 500, and I know it seems silly, we're talking a couple games difference if they're 5-5 or 6-5 versus 3-8. But I don't know that this is the time to pull the trigger on like a Jarrett Culver trade with PJ Tucker involved. I just don't know that it's it, that's where it's at. Now, we've talked about this before. The next 2-3 weeks are fairly palatable for the Wolves when it comes to their schedule. If they can go on a mini run and sniff 500 by the end of the month and Tucker's still available, then again, it seems silly because we're talking about just 2 weeks from now having a completely different outlook, but things change fast. There's only 70 games. It's not baseball. So, 2-3 games down the road, you're talking about another pretty significant chunk of your season, 72 games this year, I should say. Maybe the end of January, maybe early February. I don't think now is the time. It would be a complete panic move if the Wolves overpaid for an expiring contract. As perfect of a fit as PJ Tucker is, and as desperately as the Wolves need a four, you spent all offseason, I guess offseason was technically only a couple weeks, but, paying Hernan Gomez the extension, keeping Jared Vanderbilt in the fold, talking about how Jake Layman could play the four, talking about how Josh Okogie could play the four. If that's truly what they believe, now is their chance to prove that with a softer schedule over the next 2 weeks, or prove it wrong, which so far it hasn't looked good. Obviously, they're 3-8. So if things don't look great by the end of the month, maybe that's the type of move that you pull the trigger on. But right now, I'm dubious on what the Wolves could offer that the Rockets would accept, and if a trade would even make any sense at all at this point in time. All right, next I want to talk about the bench, really, and the roster, and what is this going to look like tonight against Memphis specifically as well. Kind of wrapping around the postmortem from Wednesday's game into previewing Friday night's game. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our outstanding friends at betonline.ag. Are you ready for football? Playoff football weekend, 2 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday, the divisional round of the NFL. Of course, college basketball, middle of the conference season, conference play, middle of the NBA season now. James Harden's in the Eastern Conference. Plenty of futures bets out there too. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, NFL, college basketball, college football is over. NFL, football, college basketball, NBA, any other sport really, or anything that's on that site. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your sports book experts. . 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's talk about the Timberwolves bench before we get into the matchup with the Grizzlies specifically and what the Wolves can adjust from Wednesday's game to Friday's game. I alluded to this a little at the end of the show on Thursday as I gave my post-mortem on Wednesday's game and the terrible fourth quarter collapse. Of course, up 10 going to the fourth, 14-2 run. They get beat, I think, 38-16 or 38-14 in the fourth quarter and ultimately lose by 11. A lot was made, and rightfully so, about Karl-Anthony Towns' really dominance in this game, and also Malik Beasley, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, D'Angelo Russell. Those three combined to score 78 of the Timberwolves' 107 points. That means you've got, seven other players that combined to score 29 points. So 78 points scored by three players, 29 points scored by seven players. Nobody else scored more than nine. That was Naz Reid, and your fifth leading scorer in this game is Ricky Rubio and his 6 points off the bench. So look at the roster. The Timberwolves have three clear stars, a superstar in Karl-Anthony Towns and two second-tier stars in D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley. I'm going to go ahead and elevate Beasley because I think, it's another story, but I think he falls in the star category certainly so far this year. So you're talking Towns, Russell, Beasley. Who else on this roster is going to score? Jarrett Culver isn't scoring. Anthony Edwards isn't scoring. Those are the only other guys that are going to score. Juancho Hernan Gomez was never going to score on his own. He's going to make open threes, and if he's not making open threes, he's not contributing, and that is what we've seen in every game but one so far this year. Josh Okogie is not going to be a consistent scorer. He's going to do damage in transition. He's a good player. He's a nice player. He's a very good defender. He had 2 points and two shots the other night, and it's, you know, obviously the Wolves expect more than that, but he's not going to give you more than 10 points a game max. Jared Vanderbilt, really good player. He shot the ball one time in 15 minutes. Part of that, you know, that's not entirely his fault. He also was in foul trouble, but he's never going to give you consistent major numbers on offense. He's a really nice role player. He's not going to be a scorer. Naz Reid's never going to play more than 15 minutes a game unless Karl-Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. He's not going to get any run behind Towns or enough run to make an impact in the scoring column. Ricky Rubio scored a career high in points last year, shot a career high from three, but he has not done those things this year. And best case scenario, his career high was what, 13 points a game. So maybe you're thinking he's your fourth or fifth leading scorer. And that leaves you with Culver and Edwards, at least in terms of guys who played on Wednesday. You know, Jake Lehman falls in the same category as Hernan Gomez and Okogie, you know, somewhere in there where, yeah, he can get his if you run the right sets and he makes the right cuts and you make the right pass, but he's not going to get his own shot. He's an average at best 3-point shooter. You're talking Culver and Edwards that you are relying on to score and contribute and do something off the bench. They both did it in the first couple games of the year when the Wolves were 2-0, and that made the Wolves, you know, the rotation look nice. Then Culver went back to his old ways. Anthony Edwards, something happened in the past 6 days with him where he's like one for his last 14 shooting, and he looks kind of lost out there, settling for threes, which he's done a lot this year. But, you know, neither of them are good shooters to this point this season, and there's reason to believe that neither of them will be good shooters the rest of the season based on past track records, and neither one is consistently creating their own shot or consistently creating for others. So, I'm not saying that the bench is completely devoid of talent and the Wolves will only go as far as Towns, Russell, and Beasley takes them entirely, because as we saw, those three can dominate and the team still loses. That's still possible. They need something out of Culver or Edwards. One of those guys has to bring something off the bench from a scoring perspective, or at least getting others involved. And you know, Ricky Rubio is supposed to help with that. He struggled this year. Jordan McLaughlin hopefully will help with that. And that's why I say, you know, I said in the first segment, if Noel and McLaughlin play tonight, suddenly you're looking at a bench with two, you know, fresh blood that could infuse some energy into the game for the Wolves. McLaughlin can create his own shot. He can create for others. He can knock down open threes. Noel can get his own shot pretty much whenever he wants. He's not going to probably create much for other players, but he's going to knock down open threes. So perhaps a McLaughlin, Noel, you know, Naz Reid, Anthony Edwards unit can do some damage in this game. Just trying something different, you know, with more dynamic players. That's what the Wolves are going to have to hold out for. But look at this bench unit: Vanderbilt, Reed, Rubio, Culver, Edwards. Not a clearly above average 3-point shooter among them. Rubio was above average last year. That was the only year of his career. Culver was bad last year shooting. Edwards was bad at Georgia shooting threes. He's been bad so far this year shooting threes. Vanderbilt's not going to shoot threes. Naz Reid is league average at threes. None of these guys are stretching the floor. And you're going to get buried quickly if you run out a unit of primarily bench guys, most of whom can't shoot. So I think Noel could add that dimension of being able to make some threes, which is important, especially with the way the Wolves play. And hopefully he gets some run in this game. And I think could be effective. I mean, as long as he can play a lick of defense in this game, I think adding somebody like Noel to the rotation and infusing that energy and that offensive punch could make a big difference. All right, next I want to talk about this matchup specifically. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get your podcasts. All right. I mentioned earlier the Wolves injuries. They have Okogie and Towns both listed as probable. Wolves will be without Lehman due to personal reasons. Rubio and Hernan Gomez due to COVID-19 protocols. The Grizzlies actually might get John Morant back for this game. He was upgraded to probable. He was supposed to miss at least 3 weeks. We're not quite to the 3-week mark. So he may play tonight if he's listed as questionable, which would obviously change things quite a bit. They didn't need him on Wednesday when they came back and beat the Wolves. But what they did need, and I talked about this a little bit on Thursday's show, is they got a season high 20 points from Grayson Allen off the bench. He shot 3 of 5 on threes. He was below 30% before the game. They got a couple of big back-to-back threes from Kyle Anderson, who only had 7 points for the game. So there were a couple of fluky things that happened. But what wasn't fluky is that the Wolves just gave the Grizzlies anything they wanted, basically inside the three-point line, all the way to the basket. The Grizzlies only attempted 25 threes. They shot 32%. You can live with that. The Grayson Allen ones and the Kyle Anderson ones were kind of fluky. Tyus was 1 of 5. Dylan Brooks just 1 of 5, which I guess you can't count on that happening again. De'Anthony Melton, 1 of 4 in the game. So the Wolves actually did okay defending the three-point line. The problem was everything in the middle. And too often in drop pick and roll coverage, the Wolves were sagging too far. Naz Reid had some issues in the third quarter. Towns had some bad possessions down the stretch where he was in no man's land. For the first part of the game, though, the Wolves were fairly physical. Got into the Grizzlies got into the bonus early in the first quarter, like 3-4 minutes into the game, because the Wolves were so aggressive defensively. That was Towns. It was D'Angelo Russell. Even those guys were getting fouls called on them because they were actually playing really aggressively. The problem was they didn't, it actually worked. Even though the Grizzlies got into the penalty and were shooting free throw, got into the bonus, they still only shot 13 free throws for the game. So the Wolves continued to play aggressively defensively early in the game, and it didn't ultimately hurt them. They were winning at halftime by 2. They were up by 10 going to the fourth quarter. And then they took the foot off the pedal in the fourth quarter defensively. They laid back. They let the Grizzlies shoot, you know, those Kyle Anderson threes. Juancho barely contested them. I understand he's not a good three-point shooter, but you got to get a hand up. He didn't really do that. The Wolves let the Grizzlies waltz to the rim. I mentioned a possession where Towns and Rubio were both kind of caught in no man's land between the ball handler and the roller and the screener. And you know, the Grizzlies were in floater heaven. I mean, they were making floaters from 10 feet, 12 feet, stopping and shooting jumpers from the elbow. It was just too easy. And the Wolves need to adjust. I mean, they're going to play drop pick and roll coverage a lot of the time, but it worked in the first half, the way that they were playing it. The second half, it didn't. And again, I mean, Malik Beasley missed a couple of rotations covering for Towns guy in the paint as Towns was helping. You know, they weren't helping the helper, I guess, down the stretch. There were a few of those things that happened as well. So really, it's just defensive tweaks, and it's being better on the glass. The Grizzlies had 47 rebounds. The Wolves had 48. But Jonas Valanciunas had 8 offensive rebounds. Xavier Tillman had 3. Brandon Clark had 3. The Wolves only had one guy with more than 3 offensive rebounds. Towns had 4. The Grizzlies are going to get a bunch of second chance points. And if the Wolves aren't, which to this point, the Wolves have actually been surprisingly good at offensive rebounding and second chance points this season. But the Grizzlies outdid them in that category, both those categories, on Wednesday. So the Wolves need a defensive rebound better. And it's going to be tough. I guess Hernan Gomez, it's not like he was rebounding extremely well, but now they're more likely to play small ball more often. If Vanderbilt gets into foul trouble again, you're talking about Josh Okogie at the 4 or Anthony Edwards at the 4. The only guy on this roster this side of Towns, Naz, Reed, and Vanderbilt who's a regular size for an NBA big man is Ed Davis. And I mentioned this earlier. I don't think the Wolves will play Ed Davis with Karl-Anthony Towns or with Naz Reed much, but they may have to simply because otherwise they might get killed on the glass. You know, this is the one team where not the only team, but one of the few teams where Ed Davis makes a ton of sense to play, to try and combat Valanciunas and Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman. This is a tough physical team that can rebound the ball. And those are the things that the Wolves really struggle with. Again, the Wolves half court defense and actually transition defense was really good early in the game against Memphis, but came crashing down in the fourth quarter. Turnover issues were the first half issue against the Grizzlies. The Wolves would have been up. They had 10 first half turnovers. They would have been up double digits at halftime. They hadn't thrown the ball away so many times. So that's another thing to keep an eye on as, I mean, the rotation is going to look different. No Hernan Gomez, no Rubio. You're talking about inserting certainly McLaughlin and probably somebody like a Jalen Noel or at least Vanderbilt into the starting lineup and Noel into the rotation. I mean, it's going to look different than it has so far this year. So there's the opportunity for some more miscommunications and things of that nature. But, the Wolves need to figure that out. They need to work through this. It's so silly to call a game a must win, but it's also silly to ignore the fact that psychologically, I mean, there's a psychological element to this thing, right? Is there a huge difference between 4-8 and 3-9? Technically, no, you can't call it a must win for that reason. They're already in a really tough spot. But psychologically, you can't get swept 2 home games by a Memphis team that came in at 4-8 before the series, then have to go out on the road, play Atlanta on Monday afternoon. The schedule's not crazy coming up, but that's exactly why the Wolves need to gain some momentum going into 2 games against Atlanta, a couple against Golden State, New Orleans, Orlando. I mean, the Wolves have a chance to finish this month on a pretty good streak if they can straighten this thing out. And that starts tonight against Memphis. All right, that's all I have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Enjoy the game this evening against the Grizzlies. I will have a weekend show up reacting to this game, I should say, and looking ahead to what the Wolves have coming up next week. So pay attention for that late this evening, early Saturday morning, and otherwise have a fantastic weekend. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to our show daily, Monday through Friday, plus bonus shows on the weekend when the Wolves play, anywhere you get podcasts, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and really anywhere else. Follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.